I don't know if I mentioned this last week. I forget what I said last week. But for John and his gospel, the revelation of Jesus is that God is not separate from the world, and that God is always at work within it, bringing it to completion. Okay? So for John, it's all about creation. It's about a new creation from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God. John takes the Genesis account and he talks about a new creation. And there's signs that this new creation has come about. This is the seventh sign today, this story. For John, they're not miracles, they're signs. This is a sign, not a miracle. And I believe, along with one of the commentators that I've read over the last few years and that I preached upon last year, and I think it's the best homily on this text that I've ever given. You remember it? Go listen to it. It's this story. Now, I've had to preach this story for 30-something years. And you got to come up with something new every year. And that's not easy. How many ways can I say I love you? But I really think that this is not about resurrection. I believe that this story has to do with grief. If you follow the storyline and you go through the story, Jesus wept. Mary wept. This is about grief. Where is God in our grief? I'm not going to give the homily again, but just briefly, what is the thing that the biggest thing that we suffer in this life? What is it? Grief, isn't it? When somebody you love dies, causes a great grief. I mean, even if it's an animal, for God's sakes, it causes a grief. So where is God in our grief? And Jesus is saying and pointing to God is there. At that point in time in your life, at your greatest grief, God is there in it, grieving with you, through you, in you. Love is what causes one to grieve. And the more one loves, the more one grieves. As I say this over and over again, if you don't love, you're not going to grieve anything. You don't care. Nothing's going to cause you to cry. But if you love and you love greatly, then you're going to be grieving greatly in your life. And so that's what I believe this story is all about. And the thing that causes grief, which is love, is the same thing that heals it, love. And it's the Spirit, as Paul says, in us. That Spirit of love that is within us, that conquers and helps us through our grief. So that which causes it is the one that redeems it, or is the remedy for it. It's all about love, and God is there and wants us to know that He is there in our dying and in the death of my loved one, the one who I loved. You know, that, as I said last year, that first kiss leads to the first tear. To be told that, as a woman said to the priest, nobody told me that this would end in death, this marriage, that either end in divorce or ended in the person's death. Jesus reveals that God is not separate from the world, from our lives. God is within it, bringing it to completion. So what is the lesson that we can learn today? What can I come up with today? Well, I think this gospel can teach us a couple of lessons today. Let me start with a story. A priest was teaching his weekly Bible class, and he asked the members of the class, how would you introduce yourself to the Lord when you died and you went supposedly to heaven? The first one said, Lord, I'm Joan, and I was married for 47 years, and I raised 3 wonderful children, and I always baked the cupcakes for school. That's who I am. Another Lord said, Lord, I am George. I was the biggest contractor in the county, and almost all my buildings were good. And I try to watch out, you know, for the little guy. And that's who I am. And then another said, I'm Harry. I was the school janitor my whole life. I kept the place immaculate. And I was never mean to the kids. And that's who I am. And so it went on and on and on. And finally, it was the turn for the oldest person in the room to come forward. And he spoke very softly. And he said, I won't need to introduce myself. The Lord already knows who I am. The Lord knows who we are. The Lord knows who you are. He knows everything about you. There's nothing we can hide from God. We hide it from ourselves at our own demise in the way. We don't like to face things in ourselves. God has no problem with that. God loves you just as you are. The Lord already knows who we are from the inside out. And he looks upon you and he looks upon me with those same eyes that he looked upon Lazarus, with love. With love. He knows your successes. He knows your triumphs. He knows how much they cost you. You see, Lazarus, for John, is a symbol of every man and every woman. And so, what the story is telling us, and I'll have this be your mantra this week at the end of the homily, we are precious in God's eyes, we are honored, and we are God's beloved sons and daughters. That's who we are. That's who we are. God not only sees the good in us and the perfection in us, but also God sees what's dead in us. Just as clearly as when he looked at the dead Lazarus, God smells the smell. He sees the parts of us that are locked up behind solid rock, as Lazarus was. He sees the parts of us that are so tied up that we can't move, we can't love, we can't forgive. And God calls us by name, just as he called Lazarus. He said, Richard, come out. Don't stay in the place of death any longer. Come out into the fresh air and the light and be released from the chains of the bonds, whatever they are. Come out and live and share our friendship. He says to us, I can free you. I can heal you. I can make you whole if you let me. Untie him. Let him go. Let my people go, was what God was saying throughout Scripture. God comes to liberate us and to free us from oppression and from that which binds us, not only from outside, but more importantly, from inside, because it's what's inside of us that blocks the love of God from coming out of us. And so that Jesus calls each of us by day, every day, and he says, leave behind what cannot give you life. Don't carry it with you today. And come into the deeper friendship with those who can give you life, which is me and my good people. You know, I think in the end, in the spiritual life, there's two major steps that you have to take. Two major spiritual steps are these. First of all, you have to come to acknowledge and confess that which binds you, that which keeps you from being all that you can be. You have to confess, you know, and own up to that which is false within you. And secondly, once you acknowledge that, whatever it may be, then you let it go. You surrender it and give it to God. And let God deal with it, because you and I can't deal with it. So if we are to answer God's call, we must name the parts of ourselves that are wounded and are dead. And everyone in this room is wounded. There's not one person in this room that is not somehow wounded, be it from childhood or infancy even to adulthood. We're all wounded, walking wounded. And we are imprisoned and in darkness. And we give those parts of ourselves, once we acknowledge it, to God and to the Lord. And we say, Lord, heal me. And the Lord will heal us and resurrect us and free us. That's what God came to do, is to free us. Not for ourselves, but from ourselves. And there's a difference there. To be freed from yourself. From this little small self of yours, this little ego, God comes to free you. Because you are so much more. So I ask you today, we're going to do a penance service. What is the stone that blocks you the most from loving? What is the stone that blocks you the most from giving yourself in love to others and to God? What is the stone that blocks you from forgiving and from forgiving yourself? And let it go. Let it go. Don't be hanging on to it. So maybe spend a little while with God this week and in your heart in quietness. Maybe you can name your darkness, your prison, your woundedness, whatever it may be, and say, Lord, it's all yours. Take it. Take it from me. I can't carry it anymore. I'm tired of not living the fullness of life that you came to give me. I want to be freed so that I can love and forgive and give and be all that I can be and all that you created me to be. And so give it to him, because you can count on him. You can trust him Why? Because he loves you more than you love yourself. God loves you more than you love yourself. So here's the mantra, all right? 10 times a day, out loud, for the whole week. And that is, I am precious in God's eyes, I am honored, and I am God's beloved son or daughter. Say that out loud to yourself. You're out in the desert by yourself, scream it out. I am precious in God's eyes. I am honored, and I am God's beloved son or daughter. Because that's who you are, and that's how God looks at you. Get that in you and live from there. That's your identity to live from. One last thing. Jesus tells us that God is with us everywhere and in all things. He's with us everywhere and in everything that goes on in our life, even our grief and our death. And so I would like to add two verses. It was really two verses. I'd like to add to the song that you're going to sing at communion. And they're the last two verses. God is my living, there in my breathing. God is in my waking, God is in my sleeping. God is in my resting, there in my working. God is in my thinking, God is in my speaking. Be my everything, be my everything. God in my hoping, there in my dreaming. God in my watching, God in my waiting. God in my laughing, there in my weeping. God in my hurting, God in my healing. And I would add, God in my grief, God in my living, God in my dying. God in me, and God in thee.